This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Mark Earhart, president of the Earhart Group. And the Mark and his family, they've had their finger on the pulse of the community, the growth, the challenges, and through thick and thin of this community. And he joins us to talk about his experience at 20-year anniversary of Katrina. Mark, welcome to the show.
No, it's good to be with you. I appreciate that you've had me on a few times. I will tell you, I've never been nervous to talk to you until this time, and I don't know why.
Well, Mark, you know, there's so many different aspects of Katrina, you know, of what was going on during the event itself and the immediate aftermath and then 30 days post-Katrina. I don't know that anyone really has given it from a perspective. Let me rephrase this. A lot of it falls on the wayside for me, having been right there in the thick and thin of it for a long time, during the storm and preparation for the storm and the aftermath of the storm and trying to help jurisdictions throughout, and not only Jefferson Parish. And then when I watch the national stories, I've never seen documentaries kind of miss the point so much, you know, about what was actually happening on the ground. It's a little disappointing, but they were a lot of tough issues, and I know that you've seen them and you've helped companies come back from the devastating impact of that storm economically, financially, and otherwise.
That's exactly right. Our business, the Earhart Group, is the family business. And my father and stepmother founded it in 1996, and I came to work here in 1997. And my dad and I worked together for 25 years. He passed away in 2022. And when, we were still a fledgling business, just trying to grind it out 20 years ago. And when everything happened, we had a decision to make. And I remember my dad at one point, and this is a couple years after the storm, he said, everybody in South Louisiana, and now this is extended in across the entire Gulf Coast, I mean, from Panama City to Lake Charles, in the last 20 years, every single person who is living here today has made the decision on whether to come back. And they've made the decision to live here because we all had to leave. Right. Everybody had to leave, whether it was for 24 hours, whether in my case, it took us 5 years to get back to Lakeview. And we all had to make that decision. And there are certain things that come with that decision. And, you know, we even use in our own discussion about our firm, what makes our business different is because we decided to stay and build. And that sort of, in my mind, applies to everybody, regardless of where you come from in the community, and the type of work you do and what you're interested in. Everybody common, we have in common is that we've all decided to come here and stay here and build. I will tell you that the toughest thing 20 years later for me to do is really explain what happened to my kids. Because my daughter is going to be 20 years old, September 16th. My wife was 9 months pregnant when we evacuated from Polk Street in Lakeview. And it was funny because the lady next door, who never came back, she had her daughter ask us that we were leaving because there's an old wives' tale, apparently, that low pressure systems, weather patterns can cause women to go into labor. So we had like three people call us, including my mama, to make sure we were leaving town. So my wife wouldn't go into labor. But my son is 15 and they're asking questions like, why did this happen? Can it happen again? Why are people saying this about New Orleans today? Right. And it's hard. It's difficult because I'm trying to talk to them about what took place. And I'm confident that it wouldn't happen again in terms of, you know, the city and the flood infrastructure and everything. But it's, you know, they ask good questions. I took my son by the 17th Street Canal yesterday because we've been watching some of the specials and things, and I wanted to show him what everything looked like. And I don't think he ever laid eyes on where that break was. And it's just starting, I don't know. I'm having a difficult time 20 years later trying to sort through a lot of where we are today.
I just delivered a monologue, Mark, and you work with a lot of businesses day in and day out about, you know, the upcoming mayor's race and the fact that folks really should listen very closely to what these candidates are saying, because we need to fund and finance critical services, critical infrastructure first, and all those other aspirational things second. And I use the adage, you know, people always respond, well, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. Well, maybe not, and we haven't.
Yep.
And part of the problem that we have here is we've actually developed our economy around disasters, because the best years that we've ever had, actually, as it relates to infrastructure improvement, is the funding that we receive from the federal government as a result of a disaster. That's not a good thing. And, you know, and as we struggle to move from a third-tier city to a second-tier city, and as we struggle to reverse the out-migration pattern that is set in here for a number of years, and I know you follow it closely, and that's why I bring this up, we got to do things a little different, I think. Your thoughts?
I agree. And I think there is something I've learned over the last couple of years is, you know, I do better if I measure backward. And I think if we measure where New Orleans is today, but we measure backward, where were we 20 years ago versus today? We can see and be grateful for extreme progress that's been made in the city. At the same time, this was so stark in over the, like 10 years ago and stuff, and it's just as stark now. When I go to other cities around the country, I see cities that work. They work. In terms of the buses run on time, the streets are repaired. You know, there are people who are moving from place to place. There's activity, there's commerce, right? And I believe we've been told in the city of New Orleans that, oh, you know what? This is just the way it is now, right? Garbage once a week, this is just the way it is now. Having to park your car on the neutral ground, well, that's just the way it is now. And personally, I just don't think that's true. And I think every person in the city has the right and expectation that the city should work. And if I'm running for mayor, the only thing that I'm ever talking about in my campaign is crime, roads, sewage and water board. Everything else, if we get those things right, everything else takes care of itself. And 20 years later, as we look at this, because we're already seeing it. We're faced with all these stories from outside about whether we should rebuild the city or not and that kind of stuff. The Economist did an article where the headline was, why are we still subsidizing a sinking city? That reporter should be ashamed of herself for writing a story like that. At the same time, the people of New Orleans should expect more from the people we elect, because this isn't just the way we have to live with it. We should demand a city that works, because the people of New Orleans work. And it just, that's, we just shouldn't settle for second best anymore, and we shouldn't be told we have to. That's where I think we should be.
Well, I think you're right. I make this analogy. Look, I love this place. I love it like no other. And, you know, there's just so much to do here. In fact, we went out over the weekend with some friends and we had a great time. And it's just so many different things to do and just so much to enjoy, right? But by the same token, the challenges that we face, and we always feel like we're going one step forward, two steps back. And I don't know about you, but I get to the point where I'm tired of making excuses for certain things, right? And it's hard to focus on the positive when there's so much going on in the negative. And the fact that we're still spending Katrina money today, 20 years later, in my view, that's a disaster in and of itself. And I get that we're celebrating the rebuild and the rebirth, but how long does the rebirth go on? In this respect, and I don't know that we're so. You know, the analogy that I make is I think that we should, you know, like with juvenile crime, and we do these juvenile programs, we should assess the success of the juvenile program 2 years post adulthood to find out where those kids that came through a program A, B, C, and D, where are they at age 23 years of age? Mm-hmm. Where do we find them? And that, I think, is the most telling way and the most appropriate way to value the programs and the spend that we made. Because if 70 or 80% of those kids are headed to the state penitentiary, then those programs are not working for whatever reason. The outcomes are not there, right? It's the same the way that we should be looking at what we did both before, during, and after Katrina to find out where we are right now today. And the one troubling characteristic is that we've had very few newly built hotels. We have out-migration greater than in-migration. We lost most of the Fortune 500 companies that we ever had. We've struggled to get them back. We consistently are having to punch above our weight. And as I said to Walt Leger the other day, maybe we need to gain some weight. And as he put it, he said we need to gain muscle mass. Because, you know, I love all these cliches, but these are excuses, right? I mean, am I viewing wrong?
I agree with you. I think, you know, what I've said to my kids is people will always be interested in you because you are from New Orleans, right? Wherever you go, people will always be interested in you because you are from New Orleans. Some people will ask you about New Orleans because they think we're from the moon, right? Other people will ask them about New Orleans because they're so interested in who we are and the life down here. That's great. At the same time, as a community, and we see this in how people make decisions, we white knuckle the status quo. We will absolutely hold on to a bad hand, knowing it's a bad hand, because we fear change so much. And you use the example, exactly what I was going to say. We, as a community, to punch above our weight, we have to start embracing some measure of economic change. The fact that we haven't built a new hotel, high-rise hotel in the city in 40 years is not a badge of honor. It says something about our willingness as a community to grow. And it doesn't mean we just have to be like Las Vegas and tear everything down, replace it with new. But we're so unwilling to do new because we're scared of it that it holds us back. We have to be, cities build things. Communities look to grow because it creates opportunity for everyone. And we have, for us to move forward, if we, you know, 20 years from now, whoever Newell Norman and Mark Earhart are on the radio 20 years from now, we need to be talking about the things that we've developed and built and how we've made the city even better because we acted with foresight in the decisions we were making. Sometimes when those decisions are risky, but we did it with vision and foresight, and we did it with a plan, and we built. And because I don't see any other way around this. This is way beyond where we are as a city. It's way beyond talking about what we want. We need to get up every day and make the city work, make the streetlights work, make the roads work, keep the entire city safe. Everything else comes after that. And I personally believe if we get the basic daily stuff right, everything else is easier. It's easier. And we can't rely on the government anymore. We have to rely on ourselves, but we have to be willing to change and take steps to change in order to do it.
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is I watched these national pieces about Katrina, and if I didn't know anything about the city, I would suspect that the lower nine was the economic driver and the economic engine of the entire city. And, you know, from my perspective, what I think is we allowed the marketing in the rebirth of this city to get kind of convoluted about really what it was all about and the challenges that we had, because we had an aging infrastructure that it was going to require a lot of attention and a lot of money. And we had one-time opportunities of a lot of money coming into this city that we could have righted a lot of that. And that was what the big argument was about. But we got so focused on one little bitty neighborhood from a national perspective here. I mean, we had movie stars coming down, investing money. A lot of those programs ended up being a disaster are still involved in litigation as of today. And a lot of other things that went on because we did not have the ability to receive this attention or this focus because we let it get misplaced early onset for whatever reason. I don't know what reason that was, and I don't really care, but we missed golden opportunities, as far as I'm concerned, as to the rebuild and the rebirth of this place that we call home. Mark Earhart, thank you so much for joining us. Go ahead, final thoughts,
Noel.
Real quick.
I was going to say, I think there are a lot of opportunities ahead if we open our eyes and we get to work. I think, and expect more. I think if we expect more out of the people we elect and help them do what they need to do, there's more opportunities ahead. I do believe that.
No, I do too. Absolutely. I wouldn't spend all this time talking about it. We got to get it right. We got to get it right. We have opportunities along this timeline, and if we don't leverage it, we're going to lose, and we're going to lose big, quite frankly.
You're right.
And
you're right.
And the sooner that we come to that realization, the better off we'll be. Mark Earhart, with president of the Earhart Group, thank you so much for joining us today. We'll be right back, folks. We'll visit with Joe Geruso, city council member in New Orleans, District A.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Hey, stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member, District A, and he is on the Budget Committee. I think he chairs the Budget Committee for the New Orleans City Council. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Noel.
That is right, correct, that you chair the Budget Committee?
For 140 more days, yes, that is correct.
But who's counting, Joe?
Who's counting?
So, Joe, I thought this was a worthwhile discussion to have. The mayor's race is probably going to kick into high gear post Labor Day. If we could kind of get a state of the state from a budget standpoint of where the city stands.
Well, look, there's two things that the candidates are going to have to be faced with. One is we have a revenue estimating conference on Wednesday, where the chief economist of the city wants to adjust revenue downwards by $30 million. And some of that may be understandable, Newell, because if there's things that were passed in the legislature that changes our ability to collect taxes, well, you can't foresee that, and that's subject to legislative change. But there's some other items that seem as though they could have been captured earlier, such as loss of revenue from traffic cameras, which was more than a year ago in the making. So we're going to have questions about that. And then on the other side, it's going to be the issue with police, fire, EMS, safety and permits over time. And right now, it's just headed in the wrong direction. I think the city has it projected at close to 70 and over. So that's a $100 million hole, and we're trying to do things to change that. We had some money that was supposed to go to a project that will move from operating to capital expenses. Obviously, I think you and I have had this conversation so many times about the city has to really bear down on collections when it comes to sales and property taxes. And then the city's going to have to look at revenue generation, too. One of the things we didn't discuss in the meeting a week or two ago, but I keep on bringing up, is like parking downtown, the rate changed in years and years, and it's time to have that evaluation. And then the last one, and I know, again, this has been in your bailiwick for a long time, is the new mayor is going to have to come in and really look at the organizational chart, the positions, and kind of decide where's the weak and what things need to stay and what things need to go. And they're going to have to make some of those decisions. You can't path and that we want to be.
So, Joe, when we what do you, I mean, you probably have a pretty good idea of what you're going to be looking at as it relates to the fund balance in the city. I got to imagine we're deficit spending this year. So where do we actually f- find ourselves? How much down are we?
Well, again, it's too little. The hard part is a little too early to tell, because we haven't tapped into the fund balance, the surplus yet. But again, we have to recognize the fact that there's going to be less revenue. And then the question is, like, how far near that $70 million is the city going to come in? And then, again, what are the ways that we can make up for that in 2026? So I wish I could say I know the number is not $100 million. It's really going to be 50 or 60. And that's what we keep on trying to drill down to is what is it going to be? And then do we have to look at some operational costs that aren't necessary at this moment, shifting those over to personnel to make sure that there isn't such a big hole?
So when you said so who is the revenue estimating conference? Who's actually on that board, on that panel?
I'm sorry, Noel, I'll watch you at the first part of the panel.
Said who is the revenue estimating conference? Who makes
so
up
revenue
that?
It's the mayor, it's the CAO, it's the chief financial officer, it's the chair of the budget committee. It's one outside person with expertise. There's a professor from Tulane, and I think one of the at-larges generally sits ex officio but doesn't have a voting item. So it's essentially one council member, one member of the public, and three people from the administration.
So they're telling you that we can anticipate $30 million less in revenue. You say that this year's experience is that we're $70 million over budget for overtime for police, fire, and EMS, right?
Yes.
And then the other day you were telling me that the sanitation department was was facing a $34 million deficit.
They've been facing that since 2023. So
When I'm adding all these dollars up, though, I mean, this is way over $100 million that needs to be made up, right? I mean,
well, I think what's happened is the general fund is used to cover up a lot of the sanitation fee. So I don't think per se that's going to tap.
So they're moving dollars
right
around. Okay. All right.
Correct. That's right. But the problem, Noel, is like I hear it in your voice, they're moving. Well, okay, but we're moving dollars around. And so that's money you can't spend. And I heard Mark talk a little bit about this a second before. You can't spend that money on fixing streets. You can't spend that money on potholes. You can't spend that money on fixing the lights that are out. So we need to free up that revenue to be able to do the quality of life things that the next mayor needs to focus on.
I made the observation, Joe, in my monologue earlier, that I think the best approach is to set up a matrix as to what are the funding and financing of critical services, what it requires, and that we don't talk about spending dollars in other places until we are sure that we have the dollars necessary to do that. And to cover the capital or whatever the percentage is going to be in capital construction, so that we're looking at a 4, 6, 10-year plan that we hope to accomplish as opposed to a 20 to 25-year plan.
I don't disagree with that. And here's the part I struggle with, Noel, is that our bonds, and this is getting in the weeds for your listeners, so I'll explain in layman's terms after I use the legal ones, our bonds defease in a major way in the next couple of years, 10 years. So the city's going to have a lot of bonding capacity. All that means, if you're not a lawyer, is that we're basically paying down our bonds to such an extent that we're going to have a huge ability to go do things. And to your point, where I don't want to be in the situation of is we're strapped on the operational side, so then that way we can't go do capital investment, even though we have such a wide berth to do so. So you have an incredible opportunity. And again, you and I have talked about this, how you stack up state, federal, city funds to go do those big capital projects. But at the same time, you've got to have the revenue working in the right way for police, fire, EMS, DPW, safety and permits, code enforcement, et cetera. And look, Noel, some of that too, and I don't want to bang on the director in saying this, but some of that is Safety and permits needs to become more efficient. We need to have enough people there. That is the one part of the city that ought to be making money as opposed to being a cost center. And so how do we do things to make sure that that's running as possible, because that also lifts up the revenue of the city completely?
Well, I think y'all developed a task force to address that. Where do we find ourselves relative to that issue? I know it's been a friction point for a long time.
I know that they came back with a report from an outside company. And then the question that we keep on having is, well, where is that report and implementation? And we have not gotten a clear answer on that. And so, again, this goes back to this age-old, we fund, you have to execute. And that's going to be something, to your point, I think the next mayor is going to have to come in and basically figure out what do we have studies on that haven't been implemented? What do the audits of the departments look like? How do we get those operating to the optimal way possible? And then again, focusing on the most critical needs, because I think everybody knows what those are.
All of the candidates are talking about the need for Sewage and Water Board to have some type of fee to make sure that not only the for-profits, but not-for-profit on the commercial side are actually paying something towards drainage. But it would seem to me that we need to have something that's really measurable, right? Maybe that's funding and financing the cleaning of catch basins with that fee. Maybe that's making it more frequent than once every 5 years. Obviously, there's probably a need for that. Something that's easily measurable as opposed to other operational things that go on, so that you can have the public's confidence in knowing we're directing our fee to this. I think they might be more amenable to it.
I think that's right. Look, that's one of the things we did with the capital budget that we're putting out, or rather the capital improvements that will be on the ballot in November. We're not just saying, well, here's $500 million to go fix stuff, because residents would rightfully look at us and say, well, we've been hearing that for 5, 10, 15, 20 years. What does that mean? So there's a list. And the list is what we hope to abide by in getting all of those things finished. I think the same thing is true with the nonprofits. A, philosophically, they're already paying water and sewage, which goes on your Sewage and Water Board bill. Those are fees. And yes, I think when it comes to the drainage, it's cleaning the catch basins, making sure things are moving in the right direction. And Lakeview getting ready to use federal, mainly in some city funds, to provide more drainage to the big park on Florida Way. So it's all of those things to make sure. And again, you won't believe the amount of junk, dirt, detritus that we're sucking out of the catch basins right now, and that's because they haven't been cleaned in such a long time.
Joe, so you referred to the city surplus many times. I was kind of going through some notes from previous discussions. Is that surplus somewhere in the neighborhood of $130, $135 million?
Yes. I think it's between 116 and 133. And obviously, I know the council has been very careful about not touching that money, because we want to use it as the basis for having loans, making sure our bond rating is good. And now, obviously, we got to look at how we're dealing with this budget deficit and moving everything forward and trying to provide the revenue that's needed.
And what is the total city budget?
Total city budget is $1.8 billion. And I know the best practice is to do 20% of the general fund, which is about 150 or 160. So we're a little less than 20% of the general fund that's in there right now.
So when you say that the general fund, you are removing all the dedicated revenues that go to certain projects out of it, right? And just what's left over is associated with general fund balances.
Right. What I'm taking out the federal funding, the other funding. Essentially, as I understand it, the best practice is supposed to be 20% essentially of your general fund revenue is what you want to have in a fund balance. And so that would, I think, be roughly about 150 or 160. So we're a little south of that, but in the neighborhood, unlike in years past.
So then how would you make up for these functional deficits that you anticipate running?
Well, I think number one is, what do we have on the operational side that isn't spent or isn't going to be spent? That needs to be moved over. Number two, I mean, this is also projections now for September, October, November, December. Do we have to have all of those? And are we, again, those are projections. They aren't actually done deals. And then what is the other revenue we're sitting on? And then Newell, again, like, this is for 2026, not for 2025, but, you know, do we want to be fighting with the school board about a potentially $70 to $100 million liability? Don't we want to have all the Wisner money? Shouldn't we put down our arms with emperors and figure out how to settle all of that? I mean, all of those things add into the mix of how to deal with it.
There's no doubt about that. A lot of it, I know where you stand on it. These are head scratchers, right? I mean, I don't quite get it at all.
Well, what I told the administration at the last meeting is, if you're just going to tell us no when you're going to fight us, just tell us. It's a lot easier than, oh, we want to work with you and be in a room. I mean, I get it. If you're going to be opposed and we're going to say it's raining and you're going to say it's sunny outside, okay, that's fine. I know the rules of the road are then.
Absolutely. Joe, thank you so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate your time and your insight, and we will continue the count of days with you.
Thanks, Noel. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council Member, District A, who is not running for any other spot and will leave public service, and he will be missed for sure. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
So, folks, we're going to be visiting with both the governor, Jeff Landry, in the coming hour. He may join us late, so we may start out with Guy and then interrupt our interview with Guy Williams to get the governor on. Obviously, a lot of meetings being held. Federal EPA has now taken control of the Roseland Smitty supply disaster there, fire and the fallout from that. You will recall, if you were listening earlier with Mike Strain, the commissioner of the Louisiana Department of Agriculture, that they're still waiting on water sampling. They are also waiting on soil sampling, and they're also trying to figure out exactly the levels of hard metals within a lot of the stuff that has been released in both the air as well as what's falling on people's homes and what's also entering the Tangipahoa River, which could ultimately end up in Lake Pontchartrain. So they hope to be able to find out a lot of this information maybe by the close of today, tomorrow. We'll see. Some of the tests that run take several days in order to get it accomplished. So we will be on top of that issue, and we will make sure that we let everyone know, all of our friends on the North Shore, as to what they are actually facing. His best recommendations, that is Mike Strain, is if it's on your roof of your house, do not power spray it yet. Wear gloves, wear masks, do not come in contact with the material, because we're not sure what it is at the present time. And as soon as that happens, then the cleanup can begin. But as of right now, the best advice is to let it be. The sun will help evaporate some of this material. If there is rain, that will help dissipate some of it as well. So we'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.